Thanks for tuning in to the Anchored Hope podcast. You can watch our services online at anchoredhope.church. We are going to get into our message today. We are in part four of our series called While You Are Waiting. And we're talking about what do you do when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when you get handed a brand new normal, you get handed a brand new set of circumstances, and there are no easy answers, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, you don't know exactly when it's going to be fixed, you don't know how long you're going to be here. This just, it is what it is. What do you do when there's nothing you can do? And that can be a really, really hard time. And in that time, it can feel like God is angry, God is apathetic, and God is absent. You're going, where is God? Is he punishing me? Does he even see what's going on? What in the world? Why am I going through this right now? And in that time, we start to believe three lies. And the three lies are this. The three lies are that, you know what? This, I'm never going to be happy again. I'm never going to be happy again. And you know what? No good can come from this. And whenever I feel like there's no good that can come from this, I start to tell myself, you know what? There's really no point in continuing anymore. I mean, my joy, my hope, my purpose, all of it is being attacked. And man, it can be really, really hard during those times. And every single one of us, for every single one of us, it looks a little bit differently. And so we've been looking at some stories of the Bible that don't always end so happily. Some stories of some people going through some really, really difficult times. And the last couple weeks, we've been looking at the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul was struck with a physical ailment. He said it was a thorn in his side. And just when he had started to do what he felt like God was calling him to do, all of a sudden he got this thorn in his side and it was debilitating. It was humiliating. It stopped him in his tracks. But he began his own journey of talking about what he did with that thorn. And he said, you know what? It's okay. I delight in my weakness because in the midst of my weakness, God gives me strength. God shows exactly just how powerful he is in my weakness. And even though I prayed for him to take it away, Paul said, I prayed for three different times in my life, three different seasons. God, take this away from me. And the answer was no. This is not going to go away. However, God made a promise that his grace was sufficient. And so Paul, as he's in prison, as he writes these letters, he begins to write letters to all the different churches he started, and then he starts to talk about contentment. He talks about how he has found this secret of being content in life. To the Philippians, he writes this. He says to the Philippians, I know what it is like to be in need, and I know what it's like to have plenty. I've lived on both sides of the fences, and I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed or I'm hungry, whether I have plenty or I want. And then he says this, I can do all this. I can do all of it through him who gives me strength. Man. Powerful words from Paul, words that can inspire us to think, you know what, man, that's what I've always wanted to do. I want to be able to do that too. I want to be able to do all this. I want to be able to juggle all these things that are being thrown at me, all the different roles that I play, all the things I do. I want God to give me that same strength. And you know, if you start to go through the New Testament, if you ever get the opportunity to study all the different authors of the New Testament, you know, each of them kind of have their own little niche, right? I mean, Matthew and Mark, they were witnesses. They walked with Jesus. You know, Luke, who wrote Acts and the book of Luke, he was so meticulous in his details. He was an investigator. You know, James, he was the brother of Jesus. John, he was able to live until an old age. And so in his old age, he writes his gospel. And he's able to have this wisdom, this outlook, this understanding of what it is he witnessed and what he saw. But Paul's niche, what Paul was known for, why I think most of his letters are what make up our New Testament today, is because he had this specific ministry, this thing that he was known for, that he experienced, that he went through in his own life, that drew people not only to his ministry, but to back to God, to want a relationship, to at the very least be curious about Christ. And that was this. Paul had a ministry. Paul had this ministry of resiliency. You ever heard of that word, resiliency? Have you ever maybe talked about that with somebody? You know, it's been on my heart a lot lately, resiliency. I remember I really had never thought about this word or heard this word until about a year ago. I meet with a cohort of pastors twice a year, a group of pastors that were collectively brought together that are all kind of around our region in different states. And so we get together once a year at Mid-America Nazarene University to discuss ideas and best practices and what we're doing and where we're trying to go and encourage one another. And so this last fall, we got together and we invited the director, the head of the counseling department of Mid-America Nazarene University, and she explained to us that they had just set up a brand new counseling center to help kids who maybe needed counseling but couldn't afford counseling. And there was such a huge demand that they actually had to hire on more counselors and expand their hours because they were not ready for the wave, the influx of students. They had no idea how big of a need they were actually filling. And they were just bombarded with students wanting to come in and to get counseling because they were struggling. They were struggling with all kinds of things in their life. You know, they were dealing with all the emotions that come with this new season of life. They were coping with the demands of school, dealing with financial struggles, you know, love, dates, and heartbreaks, all the different things that you go through as you're transitioning through that age of life. And so I remember I asked the director of this department, I said, so what do you do when you're counseling these students? Because this is something that we hear about a lot. A lot of campuses are doing this, open up counseling facilities and being able to talk and counsel with kids. What is it that you do besides just listen to them? And this is what she said. She said, we are helping them build resiliency. She said, this is what they need most right now. This is what is missing from their life. And if you don't know what resiliency is, I'll tell you the definition of it. Resiliency is this. It's being able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. And she said that a lot of young people are missing this tool right here. This is something that's missing from this generation. As a matter of fact, I just want you to ask yourself right now, would you say that resiliency is a description that you would be able to give yourself, that somebody else would say about you, that they are a resilient person? I bet for most of us under the age of 38, probably not. From millennials and Gen Zers, this is a huge missing component of our life. And the thing is that for us, resiliency is not something that we've really had to develop inside of ourselves. Because in our lifetime, we haven't gone through the hardships. We haven't gone through the pandemics. We haven't gone through the struggles that our parents, that our grandparents have gone through. That's why this COVID-19 situation has been just so different for us, because we've never been through anything like this. Although for some people in our family, this is nothing compared to world wars. This is nothing compared to Vietnam. This is nothing compared to the Great Depression. But for us, oh man, it feels like the end of the world. And the counselor went on and she said, you got to understand, the thing is about millennials and especially Gen Zers, is in their culture, in the world that they were brought up, there's three characteristics, three things that have been going on. And they're this, they're going to be on the screen. The first one is that they're overpressured and they're overprotected. Just constantly do, we got to go, schedules, just overwhelmed, but also very overprotected, very much coddled. Also, they're surrounded by an increased sense of threat. I mean, even growing up as a millennial, I'm 32. I mean, I remember a day when mom could say, hey, go outside and play. But quite honestly, if my kids today are like, hey, I want to go outside and play. I'm like, okay, well, I need to go with you because don't go to that ice cream truck and especially that white van with the guy with the candy in it and don't talk to strangers and look out for cars. And, you know, I mean, we're surrounded by all of these new different threats that could be on our computer, that could be in an email, that could be around the corner, that could be going on around the globe. I mean, there's this increased sense of threat, of danger. But then the other thing is this. There's an overloaded, too many screens, and way too much information. Our generation, our culture, if you're under the age of 38, we live in this world where we're overloaded by way too much information. I mean, just from our phone to the TV, to a person, to another monitor, to a screen. I mean, it's just, you know, just it's coming at you like a wave, and we're overloaded with information. This is the world that we live in. This is the world that your grandkids live in, that your children are growing up in. And because of all these things, we're attacked by anxiety. We're attacked by depression. We're feeling overwhelmed. Adversity just seems to be a thing that we all are going to go through. And for that very reason, we need to build up resiliency. We need to be able to recover quickly. We need to be able to stand our ground. We need to be able to not crumble and be able to stand up on our own two feet. So here's the good news for today. The good news for today is that as Christians, Paul talked about resiliency. Paul had this ministry of resiliency. And the exciting thing for us in the church is that his ministry of resiliency made people curious about Christ, made people consider coming back to the church. And so for us as a church, we have this awesome opportunity. We have this awesome ministry to be able to teach what Paul learned through his relationship with Christ, to share this ministry of resiliency. But here's the thing. The great thing for you is that Paul's ministry of resiliency is for your benefit. It's something that you can grow, that something you can learn. The same way that Paul said, I learned to be content. It's not something that just miraculously happened to me. I learned to be content. In the same way that Paul learned to be content, we can learn, we can build up resiliency in our lives. And so we have this awesome opportunity. And so Paul, he wrote this letter to the church in Corinth. It was his second letter. You know it probably best as 2 Corinthians. And so in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this letter, and he talks about this ministry of resiliency. And so I want to talk to you about it today, and I wanted to apply it to our situation today, because this is something that we need more than ever. We need to build up resiliency. Your grandkids, your children, yourself, you need to build up resiliency right now. And so this is what Paul says. He writes him this letter in 2 Corinthians, and he says, therefore, he's explained all these great benefits of being a follower of Christ, what Jesus did on the cross, and the ministry that's taking place. And he says, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Since we have this ministry, this great opportunity, we will not lose heart. I'm going to be really honest and transparent with you for a minute, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, when this whole COVID-19 thing happened, I did not handle it well, okay? I'd love to tell you that as your pastor, I did a really good job. I handled it really well. But the truth is that I did not handle this well. And so, man, I remember calling my dad, and I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, you know, it's just things were not the way that I wanted them to be. Our online presence was kaput. I mean, I did not know what, and I mean, that conversation with my dad, by the end of it, he was worried about me. I mean, he could hear the anxiety in my voice, and he was worried about me. And so then the next day, I remember it was a Monday, and I'll never forget this conversation because it was the last time I was at Starbucks. Oh, I hope they open up soon. But it was the last time I was at the drive-thru Starbucks, and I called my friend Josh Veach. Josh Veach lives in Springfield, Missouri. He runs an excellent business that he started up himself called Tension Group. And Josh Veach built and manages our website for us. And so I called him in the line of Starbucks, and I was talking to him about our website and some things I wanted to add and stuff. And I don't know exactly how we got there, but Josh said to me, he goes, you must be so excited about this COVID-19. This is such a great opportunity for you, and you have all the resources. I mean, Michael, you were made for this. Man, you must be excited because you're not just going to survive this. You are going to thrive during this. And I remember going, yeah, sure, Josh. But just a few moments later, as Josh started to share those words with me, and I started to think about it, I went, yeah,
Yeah. And all of a sudden, God started to speak to me through what Josh said. And all of a sudden, my anxiety turned to joy. My despair turned to hope. All of a sudden, I was like, you know what? God can bring purpose to this pain. Good can come out of this. You know what? We're going to be okay. And so all of a sudden, all of these ideas started just flooding in. And I started to think about our broadcast. And I started to think about what we needed for not just a passable live stream, but a good live stream and all the things that we wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, we started to put this together. And man, do you know what's been so exciting during this time? Is that during this time, the amount of people that are viewing our Sunday message, what we do here on Sunday mornings, has quadrupled. There are hundreds of people watching this right now in multiple states. And you know what? That wouldn't have happened unless this took place. But right now, it's going so well. Even our small groups, where our small groups are not meeting face-to-face, they're meeting online. Our small group ministry has grown. There are more people hearing the good news about God and are discussing the good news about God. There are more people being led to a growing relationship with Jesus than we have ever had here at Anchored Hope Church. And then, not only that, but I began to think about, well, what does our ministry look like? I mean, we have this huge whiteboard in our war room upstairs that talks about everything we're going to do. And it's just like, well, that's blown up. We can't do that. We can't do that. That's canceled. That's postponed. And I was like, what in the world are we going to do? So you know what? We started to redevelop, and we called the Lincoln County Health Department. And we said, you know what? What do you guys need? What is it that you need to do? Well, we've got people who can't get out of their homes. They need food. So you know what? We started delivering food to families who can't get out. Over the last 3 weeks, we have taken care of 16 different families and delivered groceries for them for the week so that they could eat. Then we got the idea of our free mobile market that we just talked about, that we just showed a video for. And on Thursday, we partnered with STL Food Bank, and we gave groceries, a trunk load of food, to 130 families. Over 500 people were able to receive food for a week. They were able to receive beef, cabbage, vegetables, a ton of yogurt. I mean, it was awesome. We were just filling people's trunks with food. We just were giving it away. We got rid of it. We had a line of cars before we opened. We opened at 1 o'clock and people were here at 10:30. That never would have happened unless we went through this. And unless when we went through this, we decided that we weren't just going to curl up in a ball and wait until we could reopen, but we decided to be resilient. That we said, you know what? This is an opportunity for ministry. And so we are going to choose to not lose heart. As a matter of fact, on Thursday night, I received an email. It was this awesome email that I wanted to share with you just real quick. And I'm not going to share who it was from. It's somebody who's visited our church in the past. I don't want to share their name, and I'm not going to share all the details, but I just want to share a little bit of their letter and what they said. They said, Michael, at the beginning of this crisis, I had two jobs that I loved. I've lost those two jobs, and I am not eligible for unemployment. Today, I was in line for your food drive, and as I'm sitting in that line, I started to cry, thinking to myself, why keep going? It's never going to be the same again. My afternoon was full of dark thoughts until after I listened to this past Sunday's message, and it was as if you were talking to me and telling me not to give up. So I went home, and it helped me so, so very much. Thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for your food. Church, listen to me, all right? Now is our time. I have been in Zoom meetings with pastors every other day for the last 6 weeks, and I keep hearing from pastors across Missouri, you know what? Revival is going to break out whenever we can reopen. I can't wait till we can reopen. It's going to be amazing. The Spirit is just going to show up when we reopen. And I want to respectively just say that those people are wrong, because the Spirit ain't going to show up when we reopen the doors. God is already moving right now.
God is doing something special right now. And if you don't understand how this is an opportunity, that this is our chance to be resilient and to show that a ministry of resiliency and to not lose heart, but be able to be creative and push forward and adapt. That is what being a Christian is all about. It's not about our circumstances. It's about our attitude. It's about our heart. And so I want you to know, if you're part of Anchored Hope Church, your generosity, your care, your love, your giving has made all of this possible and has transformed our church and our ministry. And there is a movement of God happening in Lincoln County right now. And it's incredible. It's awesome. I could care less when we get to come back. When we will, when we're able to, we will. But until that point, we are going to continue to push forward. We are not going to lose heart because we know that God is up to something now. If Paul were to write us a letter, if he were to write this letter to us, he would say to us, he would say, "Dear Anchored Hope, we do not lose heart in the midst of this crisis. Through God's mercy, we have this ministry." As your pastor has so well put it, this ministry of resiliency. We have a great opportunity. And we're not going to miss it. We're going to not let it pass us by. And then Paul begins to even bring even more shape to this. He says, why would we? Why would we lose heart? Because he says, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay. That right there, the meaning of that, the jars of clay, is to represent our human bodies that are brittle, that are so easily broken. Even though we are weak, inside of these weak vessels is a treasure. And why do we have this treasure? What's the purpose of this treasure? It's to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This is a great opportunity for us to point people to Jesus. For us to go, hey, look, it's not because I'm great. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not because this just becomes natural to me. This is because of the resiliency in me. This is because of what I've learned through being a follower of Christ. It's because his power is made perfect in my weakness. And then Paul, he kind of gives us this awesome pep talk. He's able to say, you know what? I want to remind you of who it is you are. And he gives this speech. It's so well known that you probably even know parts of it, probably parts that you've heard at some point in your life, because it's just such an awesome pep talk. And so he goes on and goes, because who are we? He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. You know what? Maybe that's how you feel right now. Maybe you feel like you are being pressed from every side. Maybe you just feel like right now, you feel like, man, you know what? I am juggling so much. I'm trying to be a parent. I'm trying to be a spouse. I'm trying to be a friend. I'm trying to, you know, just keep my house clean. I got to be a teacher to my kid. Like I'm going through so much right now. I'm just getting pressed from every side. I'm not feeling very well. I'm not sleeping very well. I'm trying to fit in these jeans. I haven't worn jeans in 6 weeks. So I'm trying to squeeze into these jeans. You know, you just got so much going on. You just feel like you're pressed from every side. But as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, when you lean on Christ, when you make his, when you tell him, you know what, I can do all this. I can do all this through your power, but I need you to come in. I need you to come in and perfect your power in me to show me how to be content, to show me how to be resilient. When we do that, we're able to not be crushed. We can say, you know what? I can do all this. I can do all of this through Christ who strengthens me. And then he says next, he says, so I'm hard pressed, but I'm not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Man, perplexed should just be written on my tombstone because I'm perplexed a lot. It's like when our live stream went loopy loop at the beginning, what do we do? I'm perplexed. I mean, that should just be written on my chest somewhere, perplexed. But there's a lot of things in life that perplex us, right? A lot of things we try to understand that we're not able to understand. But you know what? Even when we're perplexed, even though when we're confused, even though when we don't know the answers, even though when we don't understand, we can choose to not be in despair. Even though I'm perplexed, I will not be in despair because I know that everything I don't know, God knows.
And God is in control, and God is powerful, and his power is made perfect in weakness. So you know what? I'm perplexed, but I still have joy. And I still believe I can be happy again. I still believe some good can come from this. I still believe that God can repurpose his pain. I mean, it's okay if I'm perplexed because I am not in despair. And then he goes on. He goes, and I'm persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. You know what? I am persecuted, but I am not abandoned. There can be so many people against me. So many people who want to hurt me. So many people who want to tear me down. But even when I'm persecuted, I know I am not alone. Because my God is with me. Because my God stands next to me. My God has my back. Even when I am persecuted, I know I'm not abandoned. I know that I am loved, that I am a child of God. And then he says, when I'm persecuted, I don't feel abandoned, but when I'm struck down, I am not destroyed. You know, I've shared this so many times in my ministry, if you're part of Anchored Hope Church. I love Rocky Balboa. And there is one specific Rocky quote that I love. I even found it this week on a poster. And I hope somebody goes out and they buy it for me. I'll hang it up in the sanctuary somewhere, okay? And I'm going to read this quote because I can't show you the clip because of copyright reasons. And so I could read this in my best Sylvester Stallone voice, but it wouldn't be as serious anymore. So anyway, I'm just going to read it to you in my voice, but it's going to be up here on the screen, okay? So this is from Rocky 5, yeah? We skipped 4 so many times because it stunk so bad that, you know, we sometimes think this one's 4, but it's Rocky 5. So it says, "Let me tell you something you already know." He's talking to his kid. "The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life." Then he says next, "But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done." Then he says, "Now, if you know what you're worth, then you go out and you get what you're worth. But if you're not, but you gotta be willing to take the hits." And then he ends it up, and not pointing fingers, saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. And if you know the speech, he ends the speech with, "Don't forget to say hello to your mother." So, you know, that's appropriate for Mother's Day. But I love this speech. The rest of the movie is kind of shoddy, but this is beautiful. I love this speech. Man, this is you. Come on, we all know this. We all know that nothing hits harder than life. Nothing hits harder at life. And you know that you're not going to win when you get in a fight with life. It's going to keep hitting you. But you know what? It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. And so here's this thing, as you're going through what you're going through in life, and you're getting hit from all sides, you're getting hit in your marriage, you're getting hit in your finances, you're getting hit in your job, and you're going, what's the point in continuing? Because you got to get up, because you got to keep moving. You're better than that. You're not a coward. And you got to quit blaming everybody else. You got to quit blaming your spouse. You got to quit blaming the economy. You got to quit blaming COVID-19. You got to quit blaming the people around you. You know what? You got to do what you need to do. And you got to get up. Well, how do I know it's going to get better? You don't know it's going to get better. It might get worse, but you got to keep getting up anyway. Well, how do I know we're not going to end up here again? How do we know we're not going to be fighting about this in 6 months? How do I know? You don't know. But you know what? If you get hit again, you're going to get up again. That's what you do. That's how winning is done. If you just lay there, then you know what? Then you just might as well accept defeat. And we talked about last week that what hangs in the balance, there is more than you that hangs in the balance of your decisions right now in the middle of this fight, in the middle of you taking this beating. You know what? What you do next is going to impact the people you love around you. And so if not for yourself, for them, get up. Get up. Get up. You've got to get up and you've got to keep moving forward. You have to. because the people around you are depending on you. They need you to do it. So Paul goes on. He goes, look, I'm telling you all this. I'm doing all this because this is for your benefit. All this is for your benefit. So do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed every day. You know what? We can be beat up. We can have bruises. We can have scars. And people go, oh my goodness, you look so tired. You look so beat up. You look so depressed. You look so angry. Well, you know what? I can look outwardly, whatever it looks like. But when I am inside, I'm leaning on God. I'm setting my eyes on Him. Then you know what? I can build up that resiliency and I can keep moving forward. And each day, every day, I can be renewed and it can build up inside of me, getting me ready for the next fight, getting me ready for the next battle. And then he says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. I want to change that word light for it to be very memorable for you. So I'm going to change it to this. I'm going to say, for our manageable and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What you are going through, you can make it. You can do this. Just like how Paul said, I can do all things. You can do these things. This is manageable. You can survive this. And you know what? This is momentary. Even if it is something that you live with for the rest of your life, compared to eternity, it is momentary. And in eternity, you will not have to deal with this. You will not have to have this fight. This affliction, this thorn, it will be taken away from you. This right now, it is manageable and it is momentary. But here's the thing too. For you right now, the decisions you make, it is writing a story. And your story, your legacy, it is going to impact eternity. And you know what? When you are resilient, when you lean on God and you let His power be perfected in you, you are writing, you are achieving for yourself an eternal glory, a victory that will be celebrated in heaven one day, a legacy that will inspire others the same way Paul has 2,000 years later. It's an eternal glory. And you know what? When you hold on, when you are able to see that victory, it will outweigh all the struggles that you're going through. So hold on and keep fighting because there is an eternal glory that is on its way. This is manageable. This is light, this is momentary, and they are building resiliency. So you need to learn to cope, to navigate. And you've got to learn this because life is going to continue to throw punches at you. They're going to continue to bring things at you this way. And then Paul ends this chapter by saying this. So fix your eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know what? All of this that we're going through, everything right now, this is momentary, this is manageable, this is short. And one day, if we fix our eyes on God, on what is unseen, on eternity, on the story that will be told, you know what? All of this temporary stuff, it's going to go away. But how we act, what we do in this moment, those unseen things, those things are going to echo in eternity. Those are the things that God's going to be proud of. Those are the things that are going to impact other people in a positive way. So we have to choose to have resiliency, to allow it to build up in our life, to fix our eyes on what is unseen, to fix our eyes on the future that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen next, but we've got to understand that who we are now is going to impact our future and the future of the people around us. And so we choose to fix our eyes on Christ. So here's what I want to do. Here's how I want to end this. Whatever trouble you have going on right now, whatever thorn you have in this your side, I want you to do this, all right? We're gonna get pumped up here, all right? Kyle brought us Krispy Kreme donuts this morning. I'm super sugared up. I've had 4 cups of coffee, and Savannah gave me a haircut yesterday, and it looks dope. So here's the thing. I want you to stand up, okay? I want you to stand up. Get off your couch, okay? If you're listening to this in a car and you're driving, please don't stand up in your car, all right? I want you to stand up. And I want you to point to me, all right? This is your wrestling finger. This is your wrestling promo finger, all right? Let's cut to camera two. Let's get real close here, okay? All right, camera two. Here we go, all right? So I want you to stand up. Are you off your couch? Are you standing up? All right, you're going to point your wrestling finger at me. You're going to give the WrestleMania promo of your life, all right? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to point at me, and I am your thorn in the side, okay? I am your affliction. I am your adversity. I am your trouble. I am what you're going through right now, okay? What you are going through right now, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at it, and I want you to say, you know what? You are manageable and momentary. You are lightweight. And you know what? You can push me from every side, but you cannot crush me. You can perplex me and confuse me. It's not very hard, but I will not be in despair. You can persecute me. You can push on me, but I am not abandoned. My God is with me, and he is for me, and he is not ever leaving. And you can strike me down again and again and again, but I promise you, I'm going to keep getting up. I'm going to keep moving forward. You're not going to keep me down, because you know what? My God is with me, and he is on the move right now, and this is my opportunity. I'm going to keep moving forward, and nothing is going to keep me from doing that. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that that's true? Do you believe that's true in your marriage right now? Do you believe that that's true in your finances, in your career, in your health? Do you believe that this is short, manageable, and momentary, and that your eternal story is going to echo something completely different because you're a fighter, because you're going to make it through this, because you are resilient and you know how to keep moving forward? Is that who you are? Is that who you want to be? If it's not who you are, then what you need to do right now is you need to lean on Jesus. You need to lean on God. You need to be in prayer. You need to go to him right now, and you need to say, God, I need you more than ever, because I've tried to do this on my own strength, and it is impossible. I cannot do this on my own strength. I need you, God. I need your presence. I need you. Even though if this is not going to go away, then God, I need your power to be perfected in the midst of my weakness. If that is what you want right now, that's what you need to pray to God. And I want to lead you through prayer. I want to lead you through this. And I want you this morning to feel God close to you. In the midst of this different day that we're in, God has not abandoned you. God is with you. So will you pray with me this morning? Let's pray. God, this morning, God, we call out to you. We ask you to come right now into our hearts, in the midst of our living room, in the midst of where we are listening, God, where we are right now. God, would you just right now fill up our hearts? God, we are feeling pushed from all sides, but God, we know that we are uncrushable, that God, you are holding us up. God, we are perplexed, we are confused, we have more questions than answers, but God, we know that you are with us today. God, we understand that we are persecuted, that we have got people who are against us, we've got stuff that's against us, but we know that you have not abandoned us. And God, we feel struck down. Would you help me this morning to get up off my couch? Would you help me to stand up? Would you help me to get off the ground? Would you help me to keep moving forward, God? I want to be a winner. I want, when my story is a story to tell, I want it to be worth telling. I want my kids to say, Mom, Dad, they never gave up. I want the people around me to say, man, you know what? No matter what is thrown at them, they just keep moving forward. They keep their joy. They keep their purpose. You know, they keep their hope. Man, I wonder what that's about. God, would you help us, not maybe through our words or our preaching, but through our resiliency? Would it be a ministry that would be a light in a dark world, Lord? Would you build that up in us? Would you help us to do that today? And would every day, would you renew us and build that resiliency up in us, God? In your name we pray. Amen.
If you're ready to take next steps, we'd love it if you'd visit anchoredhope.church. And if you'd like to support this church's mission in leading people to a growing relationship with Jesus, we'd love it if you'd make a donation at anchoredhope.church/give.